Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 97. One stop for manga news and comedy for the week of May 19th, 2014. I am Derek, and I am joined by Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, indeed. It is a beautiful Monday
morning. It's Monday, and libraries hate Mondays because they're closed on Mondays. At least most of my libraries here are closed.
Indeed. Yeah. Not sure what that has to do with anything, but okay.
It's Monday, that's why it has to do with anything.
I see. Alright, well, this week we've got another great episode for you guys. We have, as usual, we have the news, but we also have, as we always do, some manga reviews and some manga commentary. Sorry about that. This week we will be going over, of course, the regular chapters as per usual, but we're also going to be continuing our coverage of One Piece with volumes 31, 32, and 33. And then we are also covering the two latest releases of manga, which is Fairy Tail Volume 38 and The Seven Deadly Sins Volume 2. And it turns out that there was another manga that was released that we were thinking maybe we want to review, but we'll get to that when we go over the latest releases. So let's go ahead and do the news, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
All right, starting with the Japanese comic rankings for May 5th to 11th, and starting in 10th place, we have Seraph of the End, Volume 5.
Ugh. Oh, wow. 9th place, Gintama, Volume 54.
8th place, The Heroic Legend of Arslan, Volume 2.
7th place, Nisekoi, Volume 12.
6th place, Ajin, Volume 4.
5th place, One Punch Man, Volume 6.
4th place, Bleach, Volume 63.
3rd place, Assassination Classroom, Volume 9.
2nd place, Kuroko's Basketball, Volume 27.
1st place, Naruto, Volume 69. Just so you know, I've been doing hero poses. You can't see them, but...
Oh, dear.
You can imagine.
I don't want to imagine them. All right, the New York Times manga bestseller list for May 4th through 10th. And in 10th place, we have Attack on Titan, Volume 10.
9th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 3.
8th place, Wolf Children, Ame and Yuki.
7th place, Nisekoi, also known as False Love, Volume 3.
6th place, Naruto, Volume 65.
5th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1. Holy crap, still on the list.
Yeah. 48 weeks. 4th place, Pokemon Adventures Ruby and Sapphire, Volume 22.
3rd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 12.
2nd place, Vampire Knight, Volume 18.
1st place, Monster Musume, Volume 3. Wait, Volume 3. How long has this thing been going? I thought it's been continuing for a long time.
Oh, but... Apparently it's doing well enough that it's number one. I am ashamed of the American manga community right now.
Oh, there's 4 volumes so far. Well, the 4th one's going to be coming out in August.
No, dear.
Why did you mention that, Mo? Because it's an okay series. I think I only read like one chapter, but I don't remember what that
You're happened. Crazy. Alright, North American anime and manga releases from May 11th through the 17th.
I'm not crazy.
Let's see, starting with anime releases, The Book of Bantora, Blu-ray and DVD complete collection.
What is that? Okay. Del Toro Quest Mega Set.
Dragon Ball Z Season 4 Uncut Blu-ray Set.
Ooh. Del Toro. Check that out. Dragon Ball Z Season...
I just did that one.
Oh, okay. Haganai next. DVD Blu-ray Complete Series. And...
Limited edition as well.
Oh, limited edition. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We have Koei de...
$5 more.
Yes. Koei de Oshigoto DVD.
Okay. Yu-Gi-Oh! Season 5 DVD Complete Collection, Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3.
Yep. Indeed. Alright. Why? It's like, why would it be separate like that? I don't know. Alright, manga releases. We have 07 Ghost, Volume 10.
Blade of the Immortal, Volume 29, Beyond Good and Evil.
We have Fairy Tail, Volume 38.
From the New World, Volume 4.
We have Italia Axis Powers, Volume 6.
Monster Soul, Volume 1.
Yes, that's another Hiromashima series. It's one that he was writing around the same time that Fairy Tail was coming out early on, so we should probably take a look at that. Let's see, Samurai Executioner, Omnibus 1.
The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 2.
Sherlock Bones, Volume 5.
And The Whispered Words.
Just whispered words, yeah.
Just whispered words, and no other releases.
Interesting.
Games or anything else.
Yep, and let's see. All right, let's see. What else do we have? We got a couple bits of news. Let us know what those bits of news are about.
Yeah, so I found this one series that I just started recently reading. It's called Real Account, and I found it via Kotaku News. They were basically, the headline goes, if you have zero Twitter followers, you die in this manga. I'm like, wait, what?
Sucks to be you, Mo.
Let me check.
Yeah, so, yeah, we both checked this manga out, and it's kind of a little bit of a saw with, like, you know, Jigsaw and all that, except that the guy that's, you know, playing the Jigsaw killer role here also happens to be in the same room.
I can't check my Twitter! What happened?
Yeah, well, sucks to be you.
Something's technically wrong. Thank you for noticing. We're going to fix up and have the exact notes. What if this was the game and I was dead? I'd be dead. I wouldn't be on at all.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. All right, yeah. But like I was saying, this, what I don't understand, I mean, with the Saw movies, the Jigsaw killer was, you know, elsewhere. But with this one, the dude's right in the room. So I'm just like, guys, gang up on him and beat him up. I'm pretty sure he can kill you without... You know, he has some kind of mystical power that lets him kill you, but I'm pretty sure that if you just dogpiled him enough, eventually your bodies will crush him to death.
He does have powers that just kill people, like, you know. Hmm. Okay, a little spoiler, just in the very beginning. He made an example of the one guy who tried to run, and there was nowhere to escape in the first place, and he killed the guy. I'm like, oh, well, that guy can do something. That guy, definitely danger. You won't mess with him.
Yeah.
Just saying. But yeah, when I read this series, I was like, what the heck? This sounds like, yes, Sora Online. I know you guys are going to be like, oh, great, another Sora Online thing. Well, Sora Online is a series that made this kind of thing popular, like how Attack on Titan has now made the whole, what's the theme of that?
Everyone dies. I don't know.
Yeah, everyone dies.
I wouldn't really say that with this one because it doesn't seem like the people that we get, you know, invested in are the ones dying. It's mostly just the random other characters. But you know,
yes, that is true. Everyone except the main characters die.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it's still, even though it's still very much a shonen manga, because even though it has the whole, oh, everything, lots of people are dying, this is dark and grim, they are still able to overcome it by, you know, impassioned speeches about friendship and stuff. And granted, that one girl probably died immediately after being told, oh, hey, you survived. Oh, no, I just killed you. You know, because I could see that, you know, being, you know, subverting the trope that they're
probably
kind of
I'm still reading the latest chapters. I can't say for sure yet.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's see. What else do we have here?
Oh, okay. Shonen Jump is going to launch a high school manga called high school type manga. It's going to launch high school sumo manga Hinomaru Zumo.
Interesting.
Sorry.
I wonder if
basically it's the story of a sumo wrestler who aims to become the greatest in the world.
I'm sorry. It's just, I love the idea of us going through the entire manga and the main character is this huge chubby guy.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, although from what I'm looking at the images here, it looks like they're going less for the he's chubby and more for the he's big but also muscled. Kind of like how Oda sometimes draws characters that are clearly fat, but somehow in the middle of their massive fat belly, they've got a six pack. And I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense. It's like,
I didn't pay attention to the muscle,
but yeah.
Well, I hope that series does well, you know, in the case of, you know, not doing things that other shonen series have been doing that the readers go, hey, I've seen this too often, too many times. Go away. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it does mention that there was other sumo manga like Notari Matsutaro, which was by the author of Ashita no Joe, and then another one by Harimanara, but it's Ikei Sadayasu. Wait, the name sounds familiar. What else did he do? Nothing. Okay. Oh well. But yeah, it's another sumo manga, so I don't know, it'll be interesting, and we haven't really had a sumo manga that's set in high school, so this should be a lot of fun. I'm hoping that we get it over here as well, because I'd be down for reading something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be better than some of the new series we keep getting. Yeesh. All right, what else do we have?
Oh, okay, this is interesting. It's like three kinds of news throughout the past week that was pretty much related to this.
Yeah.
Basically, it's this manga that Tokyo designated as unhealthy. I'm not gonna say the name because I don't want you guys looking for it. I don't want to promote this, to be honest. Yeah,
I tried seeing if it was available on Scanlations and I didn't find it, so I don't think it's available.
I tried. I should have told you earlier. It's not available on Scanlations even. So.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. It is quite. Yeah. Carry on.
Should I say why? Should I really say why? Well, yeah, I might as well.
Well, let's just say that the name of the it doesn't matter. Let's let them know the name. They can figure it out from there.
Okay, Immortal Paradise 2.
Yes.
Sequel, apparently.
Just keep that in mind. And think of the most disgusting, disturbing, sleazy manga you've ever read. And keep in mind that manga has not been banned yet. But this one is being banned. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm all against censorship. But at the same time, I'm having a hard time feeling bad that a manga that's probably about a dude and his sisters banging or something, I don't feel bad if that manga gets, you know, canceled or removed or just blocked in general. Because, let's be honest here, as much as freedom of speech and all that, there's a difference between the book Lolita and series like, oh, I don't know, I can't remember any names of the other ones, so we'll just say Immortal Paradise 2.
Well, okay, there's two other, there's another series, Yosuke no Sora.
Yeah.
This one also kind of goes through the same thing, but little spoiler, the end kind of goes in a way where, this thing they do is bad, don't do it.
Ah.
So that's why I didn't get persecuted, unlike this one. This one,
yeah,
glorifies it. That's the reason why it's bad.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people confuse art with exploitative glorification of terrible behavior. And I mean, it's one thing to have a great piece of art that addresses the concept of, say, pedophilia, you know, and treats it in a serious, artful way. It's another thing when the entire purpose of that, air quotes, art, is to give you a boner.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a major difference. And I mean, I'm all against censorship, but at the same time, a series like this, I don't feel bad at all that it is going away. I've never read it. I don't know but I've seen other series that I wouldn't mind if they went away forever.
Same.
So, yeah, I'm just gonna go ahead and say censorship of art is bad. Censorship of sleaze, I'm a little on the fence on that one. In this case, I'm sort of tipping towards the I don't care that it's going away. It's probably gonna make the world a better place if it no longer exists.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also interesting that, yeah, Kindle removes, is actually working with Tokyo to remove the unhealthy manga that Tokyo designates as such. So, yeah, and let's see what else last bit. And then, oh yeah, Kadokawa is recalling a manga that Tokyo designates as unhealthy. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, the manga that I like is not going to be subjected to this law. So I kind of get the sense that anyone that complains about this law and about these rulings is probably the kind of person that I don't really care about their opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's just move on.
Yeah, what else do we have?
Okay, remember Ocean Bowl?
I do.
Well, apparently it went on hiatus after that Fukushima controversy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one where he says, oh, hey, these people got these symptoms because of radiation poisoning and people that were
it's
there.
Because it's because no, I fell too. What? And then some guy, and then just one tweet which got retweeted like 13,000 times, apparently got the attention. It's like, hey, I never had this, and I was around there. Like, this is from my personal account. I didn't say it's really true. It just felt like it did. And it was just fixing. Why you got to accept it? Man, now this guy's got to take
I don't know. I don't know why it would need to go on hiatus. I'm just going to assume that this is a case of bad Japanese censorship.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, this seems very suspicious where they're like, oh, hey, no, don't you dare show anything showing any negative effect of anything that we do ever. So it's just like, look, people, I understand pride and everything, but you really got to admit when you screw up. And censoring someone for calling you out on screwing up is not the way to go. Because, hey, guess what? Now the rest of the world knows about it, and they think you're a bunch of idiots.
Wait, are we talking about the creator, or are we talking about
I'm talking about the people that are complaining about him saying, hey, radiation poisoning is a bad thing. I mean, seriously, that's what it comes down to saying. He's saying, hey, because we are in this area where there's radiation poisoning, these characters had these symptoms, which were said these are symptoms that were experienced by reporters that were there, you know? And so just one person says, hey, I was there and I never experienced that. Well, and I'm like, well, whoop-de-doo, look who's the Hulk. Like, just because you said that, oh, no, I never experienced this, when probably lying, because, I mean, radiation poisoning, bad. So I don't
see... It is always bad.
Yeah, I don't see why a manga that's really a really good long-running manga would be put on hiatus because some nitwit is trying to argue that, oh, radiation poisoning isn't so bad. And that the moment someone says, radiation poisoning is a bad thing, they all go apeshit. So, not happy about that. Anyway.
Somehow radiation. Don't leave your cell phone near you because it emits radiation. Then again, everything emits radiation. So what the heck, man?
Yeah, there is background radiation and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're having radiation right now, just trying to talk and record here.
We're dying. Oh, no.
I'm dying slowly. Maybe that's why we only live to be about 100 years old or so. And those that let you live past it, they're like, they eat food that get rid of radiation.
Oh, I'm going to censor you for saying that.
I mean, a little off tangent. There was this one story about this man who lived for about 500 years, and he passed away in like 1920 something, whatever. So we'll never know if he exists, except the people who probably don't live anymore.
Indeed.
And the thing is, that man, he learned it from another man who lived long enough too, and lived that long life.
Well, anyway. It's stupid, but let's go ahead and move on. We got two more pieces of news. What else do we got?
Okay, Crunchyroll adds Masahito Soda's The Tenth Prison manga along with other manga called The Princess and the Pilot, Ring of Curse, and Ichi-One Origin. Wait, what the? Oh, okay, wait. Okay, so, yeah, just added one. I don't want to have one. Oh, and it's all different. Yeah, it's just Masahito Soda's The Tenth Prison manga. Just that. And it looks pretty interesting. I guess I just like swords. And the color blue is a nice color, you know, compared to green.
Yes. Swords nice, me like. But, oh well.
Royalty, enjoys playing the world of books. Blah, 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 blah. You have the blue sword on the cover, as you can see.
Oh, yeah. looks interesting enough.
Oh, yeah. His hairstyle almost reminds me of Meliodas. Yes.
I guess.
There's your sticking seven deadly sins in something else now. Reference.
Jeez.
For me.
Yeah.
Okay. It looks nice. I might check it out. If it's actually, you know.
Yeah. We'll see where they start. But, alright. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, what
and
else do we have?
And that's the news, and on something a little nice. Asari-chan, Shoujo Gag Manga wins 42nd Japanese Cartoonist Awards.
Yay.
A for the gag manga.
Indeed.
It started in 1980. Huh, wow. And she worked with her younger sister. Still to this day. Wow. Almost like another series I know of where the brothers work together, except you hate that series. I'm not going to mention it.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yes, that series. The other series was done by two brothers, except for some reason it goes on hiatus for so dang long, and I think it's a ploy. Why are they going hiatus?
Yeah, well, it's not. Yeah, well, it's not good, so I'm not going to pay attention to its hiatuses. So
it's only good because of two, because of three things it has in it going forward. Hmm. That's
yeah. Oh well. And yeah, do we have any other bits of news, or is that it?
No, nothing else.
Cool. All right, then let's go ahead and move on to the manga review section, shall we?
Yeah.
It's time for the review segment of this week's podcast. And as we said, this week we have two brand new volumes of manga that have come out that we'll talk about first, and then we will continue our discussion of One Piece with the next three volumes that we have right here on our desks. All right, well, let's go ahead and start off by talking about the latest volume of Fairy Tail, volume 38.
Okay. And
yeah, so it's kind of nice. I don't know, I mean, on one hand, it's kind of annoying when it, you know, the new volume comes out every month, and we have to discuss it every single month.
But well, that's the life of a pro. That we aren't pro. We just do this as a hobby.
Yeah, we don't get paid for it, so we're not pros.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, but nonetheless, you know, it's just with this. I don't know. It is nice to have something where, you know, it's consistently coming out enough that we always at least have something new to talk about every single month. But if my predictions are correct, we're currently on volume 38. Mm-hmm. So far, Fairy Tail has come out up to volume 43 in Japan. So, and there's a release date for 43 in October.
Oh boy.
So that one will come out. 44 is showing up for pre-order on on Amazon, but it doesn't have a specific release date. Actually, I don't think, let me check, because I'm pretty sure 44 has not yet come out in Japan. So I'm wondering if it's got it says November there next to the name. So I'm kind of wondering if, you know, let me check. Let's see. What does it say for 143? Let's see. That one says October 28th. Okay. Right. Yeah, so it looks like we'll be getting the new one in November. But, yeah, so far we only... Oh, geez. They don't even have 44 out yet. They've released up to volume 42 in Japan. And that we'll be getting in September.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's kind of odd. The timing of this doesn't make much sense because, you know, 42 comes out, is already out. It's been out since March of this year in Japan. And let's see, we're getting it in September. So let's see, March, in the previous one, March, October, August, June, wait a minute, something isn't matching up. June, August, September, October, December. Okay, it looks like that probably actually will work, because what I'm looking at right now is it would appear that Fairy Tail has a very, at least for 2013, had a very strict release schedule of one new volume every 2 months, with February, April, June, August, October, and December being releases, and then we've... Since then, we had a little bit of a break since January, February, and March, so a little longer, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the next volume comes out in June for 43, and then the next 44 could come out in July, so it's doable, but around the time we hit 44, I imagine things will slow down then, but what will probably happen is Kodansha will just release them simultaneously in the US and in Japan. So I can't imagine them doing anything else, since they have been, you know, coming out on a strictly month-by-month basis. And so it would be silly for them to do a speed-up and then say, okay, now we're going to wait 3 months before the volume that was just released in Japan comes out in the US. You know, that wouldn't make much sense. So we'll probably around the time we catch up to volume 44, which probably coming out in November. And we don't have a listing for 45 yet, so which is probably for the better, since I have a hard time.
It would be weird once you actually catch up to the Japanese releases, because be like, hey, look, we're actually getting it around the same time they do, and yet we still have no influence on what series gets to stay.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what's interesting: is Fairy Tail 45 says December 30th, 2014. I'm thinking there is no freaking way they're going to be able to release that then. And 46, it says January of 2015, and let's see, what is 47? Do they have, no, okay, yeah, they don't have 47, but
they're
still,
but
yeah, still, I'm just thinking, there's no way you're going to be able to release these all at that time, but if you do, I'll be a little annoyed, because I'm kind of looking forward to having some breaks between new volumes of Fairy Tail.
Well, let's look on the bright side. At least it's not like anime where they keep bringing out fillers because manga won't actually have fillers.
That is true. That is nice.
It's like, oh look, there's no Fairy Tail out this month. You know there should be. We're just going to give you some filler. Wait, what?
It's like, why you do this?
But this makes no sense for comics. Too bad.
Yeah.
No way.
All right, well, it's...
All this etchy fans, no.
No, jeez. Yeah, just in the months where there's no fairy, where there's no Fairy Tail...
Mushroom was like, hey, I'll just draw a filler. And I was like, this is Fairy Tail, I guess.
Yeah, I would be amused if in between each volume, when there's a break of like 2 months or something, they publish like a volume of all the hentai drawings Mashima does in his spare time. There's no way he doesn't.
How else do they not look so good?
Yeah.
No.
I could just, although I can just imagine a lot of fans would be like, please let us see those in Mashima's. Just like, no, I'm a professional. I do not do porn doujinshi of my own stuff. Yes.
You wait until after the series is over and after I retire, and by the time like 80, here's what Mashima's doing. Oh, I still need to see that stuff. I'm already dead by then or something, though.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the actual volume. Volume 38. So, just to cover, this one introduces Shadow Rogue, who is like a shadow that's possessing Rogue and is all, blarg, I'm evil and stuff. And the battle continues with people fighting and some
the contests.
Yeah, the contest and all that. And yeah, and then you kind of got a lot of cutting between the different fights and... You know, Fairy Tail basically ends up coming out on top, and I guess Gray and Juvia do the, let's see.
Unison Raid.
Yep. Which, the first time they actually ever did that was in an anime filler.
Huh.
And, yeah, so the anime did it first. But yeah, they do water, nebula, ice stuff, and...
Water and ice makes everything nice.
Water and ice makes everything ice. Or if it's warm water, it makes everything water.
And then we got boiling water. What the heck?
Yeah, and I do love the little scene at the end after Gray and Juvia beat Leon and Sharia, where they're just standing there, still holding hands. Gray's just—they're just kind of looking at each other, and Gray's like, "How long are you going to hold on?" And she's like, "Oh, my life." He's like, "Scary."
Might as well cut off that hand now if you want. Great.
We also had the fight between Minerva, Urza, and Kagura. And of course, Minerva is all, oh, hey, look, I'm evil. I have whipped the cat girl. Oh, no, I am so evil. although, to be fair, that was pretty gruesome when we got that reveal. So,
and one more fight that was between another.
See, oh yeah, so many fights.
Laxus and Jura.
Yeah, Laxus, Jura, and that one Black Thunder guy from Sabretooth.
I forgot about him. He lost like a pin. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is not Fairy Tail, therefore he lost easily. But, and then you've got Rungus Sting. I mean, who faces off against. Who basically is going to fight all of Fairy Tail and they're all beat up, but then he's their willpower overpowers
him. He's like, all right, give us your best shot. Even though all we can do is just stand. He's like, exactly. I want I can't do it.
Yeah, and they're like, do you feel lucky, punk? And he's like, no, I don't. And that's kind of, he kind of pusses out. But then it turns out that the cat is, that Lecter is still alive. Yay.
He was hiding in a woman's shirt, back thing.
Yeah, he was hiding amongst her bosoms because, yes, that is totally the best place to hide on a woman.
Actually, it is the best place. It's the magic place to hide anything on a woman.
Yeah, except for full-grown creatures, but yeah, and yeah, so Fairy Tail wins, and
yeah,
so that's the end of the fight, and then, let's see, what do we get from there? Yeah, we continue, I guess we do continue the battle between, we kind of finish off the battle between the, Natsu's group and the Executioner people.
They didn't do anything much.
Not really, no. But, oh well. Yeah. And then, other than that, yeah, we end up finding another person from the future. It's Rogue, who is evil, and he says...
What's with the hair, man? It's like, one side is short and black, and the other is long and white and tied back. I'm like...
He absorbs Sting. That's what happened.
Oh, yeah, probably...
He kills Lucy from the future. And everyone is sad because Lucy died, except she's still alive because time travel.
It was just a future Lucy, so it's okay she died. Yeah. And don't start throwing things at me because it's okay she died. The actual one is still alive. Well, also, I know something about the future one. Yeah. She was missing her right arm when Lucy was like, "Hey, let me see your, give me your arm." And it's like, oh, I can't. Oh.
Oh shit.
What was that? She lost her right arm.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so that, you're just like, oh, well, that's messed up. Yeah. So, but yeah, I...
It probably have her keys, too.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, so I guess she doesn't have her right hand, but... Yeah, so basically, it's a way to have all the sad moment of, oh no, Lucy died without having her actually die, so... Yeah, and let's see, what else?
I'm sorry for that, but seriously, you know, as long as it's not the actual current one, it's fine.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, so basically, yeah, and then everyone, I guess, we end the volume with everyone saying, hey, we're going to...
The king's like, I need your help, please! He started crying, he's like, that's just the weirdest panel ever. I saw, like, you have kind of narrowed, looking like, what? I'm like, what?
I guess everyone is kind of like, oh, hey, yeah, we will protect our kingdom against the 10,000 dragons? Is it 10,000 or?
10,000.
10,000, yeah. And everyone's, yeah, sort of like, hey, we can do it. And then the door of the thingy starts opening. So.
And we get a nice, last few panels of Lucy Stanner. And last panel is a gratuitous shot of her cleavage. It's like, okay, my.
Yeah, well, for some of the cover images, of the chapter cover images are a lot more gratuitous, let's say this. If you want to know what I mean, check out chapter 325. That's kind of like, well, that is, okay then, someone wants to be a porn artist, but he is having too much success.
He's looking at Shogun no Soma, damn, I'm
going to
do that too.
Like, I want to do that as well. Yeah, the thing with
Shokugeki... I used to do this, but now I'm doing this.
Yeah, like... The thing with Shokugeki no Soma is that it started out with massive fan service, so it knew what it wanted going in, while with Fairy Tail, it started out with a little bit of fan service, but with the focus was more on the story. But then later on, it just sort of developed into... just absolute shameless fan service where it's just like, look, if you had started this from the very beginning, that would, instead of changing, I guess that would be make it not as bad, but
it's kind of annoying how some series actually do that. They start with fan service, which is fine. I mean, some people don't like it, but at least they're on to say, hey, here's what I'm going to do. If you don't like it, well, let me know. But then when some of them do, like, not fan service, then later on, like you said, they do it, it's like, what the heck, you behind us from us? Now we're going to be stuck with this forever.
Yeah, it is kind of, you get you into something, and then later on, when someone reads, like, the latest chapter, they're like, you sick, perverted monkey, and it's like, I swear it wasn't like this when I first started reading this series.
Well, One Piece did do that too later on
Oh,
anyway.
yeah, and bits and places. Yeah, One Piece is, in general, a lot of manga I've found seem to be used, that didn't use fan service, seem to be using more fan service recently.
It's too strong for cyber.
Oh, no, it was always heavy fan service. It just developed from almost seeing the nipples to just flat out seeing the nipples.
The
Just flat out
imagination
frontal
no
nudity.
more. You can see it all you want. Don't go read that series, guys, unless you know what you're in for.
Well, read up to the D of D.
D&D arc.
Yeah, which that was really good, but after that it kind of falls apart. So everything up before that is actually a lot of fun and definitely worth reading. We should go over that series sometime
Yeah,
in
we should. But
depth.
with the fairy tale volume, there's some interesting things I can point out, like the whole I mean, I don't know if it was Juru. I know there's mentioned 10 wizard saints back then, but it was pointed out that Juru's like the most powerful human wizard of the 10 saints. And there's four more who are not human, and we
Well,
see silhouettes that.
yeah, I don't know whether they say they're not human. I think it's more meant to be they are so powerful that they might as well be gods, is the approach that it takes, you know? Where it's sort of like, oh, they're not even really, they have gotten so powerful that they're not even really human anymore. So Jura is the only one who could still be considered human.
Also, I just want to point out that Rogue, that Yadil's like, oh, I remember you. You were once my student. Wait, what? Wait, Rogue was a student? When?
Yeah, when did that happen, actually?
I don't see. I don't like it when people do that. They just pull stuff out of their ass. Kishimoto!
Yeah, quiet you. We'll get to that. But yeah, I was a little amused by the it did kind of remind me of what's his face and Mist Gun, where he's like, I'm Mist Gun's pupil, and then it was like, wait. Oh
Oh,
yeah, he is totally. And then it turns out he was just
yeah.
just
Or,
controlling their magic, their memories. But still, it's like I have to imagine it's like a parody of all those places where it's like, I am the student of such and such, even though you've never heard of me up until this point. But
Okay,
yeah.
we can just set the module like the parody stuff. I'm fine with that.
And then he does it flat out, but
For the
okay.
fight, it's like, ah, whatever. No one's gonna
Yeah.
care.
All right.
I'll just stop on that.
Well, all right, let's go ahead and move on to Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 2.
God, that was a long volume to read.
Yeah, it kind of was, wasn't it?
Oh, actually, when I looked it up, I looked at how many chapters there would be. I thought there'd be like three, four chapters. Oh, four chapters is easy. It's just, it's like, because the first volume was five chapters, okay? But then the first chapter was like really long. The first chapter always long. The second is a little longer and a little shorter than that. And then the rest are just like, in stone. But this was like, it's like five chapters first volume, second chapter. How many of them? Eight chapters? Well, they're going to. Yeah, some of that.
Yeah. So this volume,
Seven.
this volume right here is, there's a lot of a
Huh.
lot of focus, the majority of the focus is on fighting. We also interest between the different kinds of, like knights, and they kind of spend them after fighting Gil Thunder, they spend, and after Diane uses, her very totally not pin-up material throwing technique to get rid of Gil Thunder. They end up coming to, yeah, they end up coming to a town where, yeah, they decide to, they're going after Ban, one of the other deadly sins. And let's see, yeah, so they. Yeah, so the majority of that is, oh hey, look, here's a village. Oh, this is the village's problem. Look at how these people that are supposed to protect them are actually harming them. It's very actually, oh my gosh, it is almost identical to the to the Captain Morgan arc in One Piece.
Oh.
Kind of very similar. I mean, I'm not calling rip off, but it does seem to be like whenever you have a story where the main characters are
Well,
these
it's typical, you
outcasts.
know. Yeah, it's typical, Some outcast comes out, like the whole outlaw thing. I'm an outlaw. Oh, your town's in trouble, huh? I don't have to give a
Yeah.
crap. Oh, that sheriff messed with me. I'm gonna kick his ass. I don't like him. I don't like the two outlaws. Get out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. It pretty
Yep.
much. It is very much that, and you know, Bond does kind of play a similar role to Zorro. So it's, yeah, it is kind of interesting. The way that seems to be kind of a common theme in series where the main character is an outlaw of some sorts, whether just to show how the people in authority are worse than any outlaw could be.
Well, writing
And
outlaw characters are a lot better than writing people in authority characters.
yeah, well,
You can't
yeah,
do much.
definitely. Yeah, definitely. And it also is interesting how there is a parallel between Meliodas going to free his companion who is in prison is very much a parallel to Luffy going to free Zoro who was in prison.
But Zoro was not his companion yet.
Yeah, except and that took less time, or at least it seemed to take less time. Well, with this, there seems to be a lot more focus on getting the geez, what am I even trying to say? It
Getting
seems
to rescue him.
Yeah, it's like it takes a while to get to Bon, and it also, although he frees himself, and one of my favorite scenes of the volume is when Jericho shows up and tries to fight him, but he just uses her sword swings to shave.
Like, man, you can make a good barber. That's it.
I just love that
Old
he's like,
barber.
he's like, oh hey, yeah. It's like now I look the way I'm supposed to look. It's just like what? Yeah, and yeah, there's a lot more fights this time around than with this one than with one there was with one
I love Bug Guy.
piece, and there was, yeah, and there was
There
let's
was four
see,
knights. Holy knights.
yeah, that they end up having to fight and they all have their own abilities, etc. and so on, and yeah, I also was kind of amused when Bond stole Jericho's armor and then he's like, ah, it's too small. Can't wear it. Oh well. Although at the same time, I'm like, why would you, of all people, need armor?
Sure.
And, yep. And then we also get, let's see, yeah, we also get that scene where we find that the, what was it, the daughter of the doctor in the village who's playing the role of the, hey, I'm the local here who is having trouble with these guys that are in authority and so on. So, yeah, it's a very interesting pose that she's drawn in, just because.
Oh, wait, who are we talking about?
What's her name? Senate?
Oh, the
The
doctor's
daughter of
daughter.
the doctor. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is awkward.
Yeah, it's like, huh? That is a bit of an erotic pose, but I guess that's kind of the point because you've got that one guard that's like, "Hey, you don't think they'll mind if we took a little taste?" And then Bond's like, "Is like, okay, I'm in." And then he just punches the guy. He just like knocks the guy's face into
Thank
the
goodness.
bars. And then, yeah, and of course they end the chapter where that happens, where he's just like standing there, having completely annihilated the bars. And he's just standing there, completely shirtless over, and he's like, "Now you're all mine." And he's just like, "Oh gosh, no!" At the time when I first read this, I was just like, "Uh-oh, oh, please tell me we
Oh,
don't."
what'd you get me into? I swear it's not what you think it
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even at first, it did start out. I mean, yeah, the next chapter starts off, and you're just like, oh, great, this is, oh dear, this is, we're going to have a rapist in the main cast, and we're supposed to like him. Please don't do that. And then they didn't do that because he stole her knife.
was funny. It's like you're all mine now.
And then he's
I'll be
probably actually talking to the knife.
It's like this hidden dagger of yours. Like, oh, well, can I have that? That's my mom.
And he's like, nope, it's mine
Dude,
now.
give it to him. Otherwise, he would have done something to you we did not want to see.
Well,
Except certain pervs would probably want to see.
no, I don't think, yeah, that would not have happened. He's more into just taking stuff.
Yeah.
But
Like greed,
pretty
from a.
much, yeah. And yeah, so that's, and then there's some more fighting and stuff, and Elizabeth gets hurt, and Meliodas is all,
Good.
I will beat you by, I will punch you so hard that I will smash your armor. And the dude is like, the armor is nothing more than a flimsy cover. My real armor is the my body that rivals steel itself. And then we get one of the grossest punches ever, where Meliodas just punches his tiny little hand straight through the guy's abdomen so that it bulges out the other side. And yeah, that was kind of gross. But
I wonder how that's going to work out in the anime. It's like,
probably not going to show that. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Just show him get punched and then fall down, probably.
Probably. Yeah. Oh well, that's why manga is better. They can get more graphic than anime ever can.
And that's why you hate manga too, because manga gets so graphic with stuff you hate to see in it.
That also. Which it's like, yeah, there's certain series where I'm like, look, if you want to experience this series, go watch the anime rather than read the manga. Because, like, for example, Tenjo Tenge. If you go watch the anime and it won't show anything, but at the same time, you'll finish it feeling kind of dirty, you know? And then if you ever read the manga, you realize why you finish it feeling kind of dirty, because that scene where the one guy's girlfriend was beaten up by one of the bad guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the manga takes it the direction that you would imagine something by the awful old great to go. And why are we talking about this? I hate that guy.
Let's not mention him in the same breath as... No.
Yeah, let's not talk about him in face of authors who are actually good and aren't complete degenerates. So
even though they kind of like to go that way, but not all that way.
No, yes. But, you know, it's like they're not a bunch of exploitative... sexual violence glorifying jackasses.
At least Macho had lesbian demons.
At least he doesn't go all the way, except that stuff with Urza was a little questionable.
At least he had lesbian demons.
Yeah, sure, that's totally makes up for it. No, but anyway. Alright. It is time for us. Let's see.
To wrap up Skypiea.
Yes, let's go ahead and start off with One Piece Volume 31. So, alright, the majority of this was a flashback.
400 years ago.
Yep, where it actually does kind of start off with, you know, where Wiper mentions, hey, wait a minute, let's see, what was it, let's see. Swordsman weirdo guy. Let's see.
It went to Wiper flashback about how
after
telling the story about the reason why they want why Kagura really wanted to ring the bell the whole time. Yeah,
exactly.
And like it was for a friend. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, after finding out that, you know, what's his face?
Kagura? Which one?
It's after Wiper finds out that Nolan's descendant is just below them, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Cricket.
Yeah, Cricket.
Indeed. Cricket.
And, yeah, so you basically get the story with, you know, Nolan and, Nolan coming across the Native Americans analog for the One Piece world, the Shandorans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like, oh, hey, you know, it's like, hey, don't go sacrificing people because, you know, for saying like, oh, hey, look, to solve your problems, that ain't what's going to happen. And so he goes through, figures out what was actually going on and all that stuff. And then they all become friends. And then you basically, so.
He killed like two snakes. Each of them killed a snake. It was funny.
Yeah.
And there's a little baby snake.
And so, let's see.
Giant one. I mean, it later became the big giant one. Sorry, I didn't mean to whisper it. I don't know why I didn't know.
Yeah, and then you kind of... Yeah, and then you kind of go from there and you finish off the flashback with Nolan coming back to his kingdom and being like, oh, there's a city of gold. And you got that panel between, like, the king and his minister. And he just got these, like, shit-eating grins. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. And then they get there, and the city is gone, and Nolan is like, hey, wait a minute, something's not right. The island used to be a lot bigger than this. And then he died, and he was executed. We discovered the truth of it all, where, you know, he wasn't a bad, you know, he wasn't lying. It's just that the city really did disappear.
But the king was like, oh, you wasted my time coming all these lies. I'm going to execute you. But here's the thing about the king that I did not like, that I know this when I read this again.
Yeah.
This king, when he said, oh, this time I'll go with you, but this time you're taking my army. Your men will stay here. I'm like, wait, you're not taking these men? What the hell? Because I was like, okay, that's suspicious when I read that. And then I had a feeling that even if the other half of Jaya didn't fly up to the sky and all that, even if the king would have been like, oh, you know, we got our gold. What do we do about these people? Just kill them and take the women. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's probably for the best that their sky got blown up into, you know.
I'm sorry, Nolan, but I think your sacrifice was better off than losing your friends to this douchebag here.
Probably, yeah. Though, to be fair, with the amount of men that they took, I highly doubt the Shandorans would have been defeated so easily.
True, but then still, the pressure would have been messed up.
Yeah, but, and then, you know, things did not end well for them anyway, because their land ends up stuck on top of a giant beanstalk, and it turns out that the Skypeans are like, you know, oh, hey, look, we have been granted this blessing of Earth.
They heard the bell first, and they're like, oh, and then they say, oh,
that's cool.
We must have that.
Yeah.
And then we see the god at the time. Yeah. Look like that one head priest that Robin defeated.
Right.
Similar to him.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, so he comes in and he takes the land. And so it's very clear that he's a douchebag. But at the same time, you're like, well, it's not like they came down to the land. It's more, oh, hey, look, this land ended up in our land. It's ours now.
That's a nice analogy right there. Weird enough, but yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the case.
But yeah, and then you kind of, let's see, and then we finish off the volume with Luffy going after Enaru and not having much success because the lightning keeps hitting the beanstalk, making it hard for him to get up. And let's see, what else was there? Yeah, and then, so he decides he's going to ring the golden bell just so that Cricket can hear it.
So he stopped diving deep into the sea, thinking that the city was down there the whole time, and eventually killed himself. That was his plan the entire time. When he said, "I'm gonna ring the bell," and they're like, "What are you ringing the bell for?" I'm like, "Oh,
yeah, and yeah, and then so Nami decides, all right, well, we'll use the waiver, and I'll get you up there." And so yet another one of those moments that I'm sure many a shipper was like, "Oh, it's true, Oda ships them." And then later on, he's like, no, I don't. And all the shippers were, aww. So, all right. This volume. The majority of it is the flashback. So, what do we think of it?
I liked it.
Yes. I do like this flashback a lot. It's very much, I think this flashback.
It builds on the world, too, in a way, too.
Yeah. Even though I can see how this flashback would have been really irritating when reading One Piece on a week-by-week basis, just because you're all, oh, hey, I want to get back to the actual main characters. But reading it in volume form was a lot more enjoyable, just because, you know, I don't have to wait, like 3 months to get through to get through the whole thing. I can actually just read it all in one sitting, and it's a lot more enjoyable. So it's just not as much of a distraction from, you know, from reading Skypiea.
It's about 2 months. It's about 2 months. This volume lasted.
Yeah, definitely imagine reading that just a chapter a week, which we probably could do. Just go through One Piece at the rate that it would, you know, at the rate that it was published in, like one chapter a week. And I'm just kind of sitting here thinking that is the dumbest thing I've ever thought of. That would take forever, but anyway.
Well, he did. He made it work.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think it definitely is one of those arcs that is, anyone that read the manga while it was being published week by week and hasn't gone through and read it all again, I'd recommend doing that just because this is a lot. Anyone that is anti-Skype here will enjoy this a lot more, I think.
You know what's scary? If Skypiea was not really liked by as many people say it was, it would have been the last arc for One Piece. It would end in such a way, it's like, oh, and they just sailed off after leaving Skypiea. Like, wait, what happened? What?
That would have been
your
pretty
fault.
Off.
Your boat made us sink down. It's your fault. Don't blame me. Blame yourself.
Yeah, that would have been pretty awful. All right, well, we got a little... Okay, we got two more volumes we need to get through, so let's get to them quickly. All right, so volume 32 is the end of the Skypiea arc, where, Luffy fights... he fights Enaru, manages to hit the bell with his,
golden ball.
Yeah, with his Kintama.
Kintama!
Yeah, and he knocks out Enaru in that blow. And so we basically have the fallout from that, where everyone's like, oh, hey, look, there's the golden ball. And then and you've got, whatchamacallit. Oh, jeez, Enaru, that's it, yeah. Uses his, uses the ship and is like, let's go to the divine world that floats brilliantly in the sky to endless Vars. And he goes to the moon.
I know. I'm sure that's the moon, not what you think it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, the moon is endless Vars. I mean, generally, according to theories and science and all that, science apparently, it used to be a part of Earth. So if the moon, as it was, still attached to us, we'd have a lot more land and not as much water.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know that giant, big, giant puddle of water we call the Pacific Ocean? There would have been land there.
Yep.
Just saying.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, also, so the rest of the volume is basically them partying. Robin also discovers the, the Poneglyph. And let's see. And she learns the location of, of the weapon Poseidon. From that Poneglyph, and
Plu.
Yeah, and she's and so it's like Poseidon. She learns about Poseidon. She learned about Pluton and Alabasta, and
I don't want to know about this.
Yeah, she's just like this is completely irrelevant to what I'm trying to do. But then she also discovers that Gold Roger was there. Goldie Roger was there, and he he knew how to write in the ancient text. And so he leaves this message.
I'm wondering why the Navy wanted to kill him.
Yeah, he probably knew something. And although with all the parallels between Goldie Roger and Luffy, I'm kind of thinking, I can just kind of imagine Luffy being all, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, by the way, did you not know? I know how to read this ancient writing. I totally learned it. At some point. And Robin's like, you son of a bitch.
Tell me everything.
Yeah.
Don't want to.
Yep. And so it turns out the Shandorans were protecting the Poneglyph, and, the Poneglyph had, its purpose was fulfilled, so they didn't have to fight anymore to protect it. So, and yeah. So, and then Luffy and crew are all like, oh, hey, let's steal all the gold and run. And then they run, even though you run away from the people trying to give them this massive golden pillar.
Golden, giant, phallic-ish symbol.
Yeah.
I swear, man. Dang it, Freud, why?
Oh, dear. Yep, and then they leave Skypiea by falling. And it's pretty hilarious, because everyone's eyes leave their sockets.
There's only a small panel, though, sadly.
Yeah, even the going berry is like his eyes pop out and everyone's just like, ah! But they land safely. And let's see.
Of course, the octopus saved them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then the bell rings some more and we end that arc. And we get some fallout with Doflamingo showing up. To take out Bellamy and everything. And let's see. And yep, the voyage continues from there. And... let's see, what do we have?
They reach the next island called Long Ring Long Island.
Yep, where they discover an old man who was on top of stilts for 10 years because he was too afraid to get down.
Oh, I thought it was 20 years.
Mm-hmm, it says 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they meet the foxy pirates who challenge them to a Davy back fight. So.
Oh, yeah, that. And also, like, don't challenge it. Oh, too late.
It was like, oh, dang it.
You idiot. You know what you just done? I don't care. I hate them. I swear. The next volume is probably the funniest one, even though it's probably not the best, but it's the funniest because, mostly
Let's talk about this one first before we get into the next one.
True. Okay. So let's see. Okay, so I tallied three times that Wipers used the dang reject dial and he hasn't died.
Yeah, that is a little BS when Oda does that, when he's like, oh, if you do this too often, you will die. Oh, you did it too often. Never mind.
I have sheer tenacity. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this ends Skype here, and so overall, this is definitely much more enjoyable
mm-hmm.
when you read it all the way through.
Volume by volume.
When I first read it, I, of course, read Scanlations because I came a little late to the party.
Of course, we all did.
Back in 2008, and so I wasn't reading it week by week. One Piece was already further along than that. I think by the time I caught up and was reading it week by week, we were in, whatchamacallit, we were in...
I think we're still in Enies Lobby.
I don't know if it was Enies Lobby. It was somewhere around Thriller Bark, a little after Thriller Bark.
Well, by the time you caught up, I read this in 2007, so they were still in Enies Lobby, and I just seen the end. I caught up to the end of Enies Lobby, and they were in the filler by that time.
Right.
Before Thriller Bark started, and that took eons to get to that point, because I was like, wait, what's going on? I was in the fan fiction stuff all the time.
So the Skype arc. Definitely a lot more enjoyable than people say, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very much one of those arcs where, people go on about how, oh, it's my least favorite, but, you know, I mean, maybe on a week-by-week basis it would seem interminable.
I'll be honest, the designs of the Skype characters were a little bit hard to get used to, even still to this point. I guess, maybe I'm just be an aesthetic taste for me, but maybe for some people, but I guess, you know.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know,
I still like the arc.
Yeah, it is definitely enjoyable. It was one, it has a special place for me because it was the first one that I read after I'd finally gotten past the Alabasta arc, because the Alabasta was constantly, the anime when I was watching was constantly rerunning up to that point.
Like an anime.
Yeah, but, yeah, so Skypiea was the first real, well, not real, but the first new One Piece for me, and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It also had a lot of fun moments in it that I really liked. Just these small character moments and stuff. It was a pain that the characters weren't around each other as much as I wanted them to be, but it was still really enjoyable.
Well, it's been kind of hard to try and write, six at the time? Six, seven? Seven. Trying to write seven, characters all at once every time. I can understand why we'll have to split them up like that.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's see. Okay, then. Volume 33. So, this one is the Davy Back fight. Contains almost the entirety of the Davy Back fight. With them... excuse me. Them losing members, gaining members, all the silly, funny stuff that happens. It's kind of one of those weird arcs because it feels so very much like filler, but it's actually in the actual anime. You know? There's a lot of... I don't know, it's just the way everything is treated is just, it's just pretty, it's just so weird because it's so unlike anything we'd had in One Piece up until this point. I mean, I won't go into details about exactly what happened, but...
I kind of wonder how someone would have felt they saw this in the anime first and then they read the manga, wait, this was in the end, this was actually part of the freaking series!
Yeah. the thing was, is that it was... I really enjoyed it because it was really funny.
Yeah.
And I especially like the moment where, where they, after they've lost Chopper, they win the groggy ring match. And Luffy is like, okay, who am I, who is he going to choose? And and he's like, you know who. And then all these random pirates are like, huh, me? They wanted me all along. and everyone is just like... Luffy starts to call Chopper, and Nami's like, hey, wait. He's like, round three is one-on-one combat, right? The only participants are you and their boss. If you take their boss, they'll have to forfeit. There wouldn't be any more fighting, and you could get Chopper back.
And everyone, this was Nami that said it, by the way.
Yeah. And everyone, and that's kind of also part of why I like it, just because, I don't know. I really, Nami is one of my favorite characters, and whenever she's the bra acting like the brains of the operation, as opposed to Luffy being the brawn, it's always kind of entertaining because you end up with scenes where all the Foxy Pirates is like, "Oh, you jerks! How dare you make such an evil suggestion?" And and everyone's yelling at her, and Nami's like, "Oh, those jerks are so hateful," and then everyone's yelling at her, and
Yeah.
and then I just love the Nami where she just like gets over it and is like, "You guys shut up," and everyone
You're
just
like,
freezes.
okay.
He's like, "Sorry," and then Robin's like, "Oh, hey, Navigator, if we go along with your proposal, we could end it right now, but their boss would join our crew." And Nami's like, "Oh," and everyone else is like, "We
We're like,
don't
we don't
want him."
want that
It's, yeah.
the best way of saying we don't want this guy. It's like it's the best way to for an excuse of saying we'll have the third fight anyway. Instead, because well, I don't think anybody will want Foxy on the crew. No, we don't want that guy. We wouldn't want him at all. I don't want him at all.
Yeah, and it is, and then the setup for the fight is pretty hilarious, where it's they use a cannon, spin a cannon to decide where it goes, and it just halts, like just jolts to a halt and lands in the ship. And it's like, guys, you jerks.
It's all like, hey, that's rigged.
Yep. And yeah, so they yeah, there is this arc really is just really hilarious.
It was.
It's because you've got the constant, "Oh, hey, look, you've got, let's see, you've got all these jokes, and I mean, it all is ultimately kind of pointless."
About the
But
app.
oh yeah, and then yeah, and then Luffy comes out with an afro, and everyone's like, "Oh, you look cool!" And so, this love is like, so it's like, "What on earth?"
What the hell is this?
Yeah. And of course, you've got Usopp wearing it at first, and you're like, "Dude, you need to have your hair like that always." And just love that Chopper and Sanji are just like, "Wow, his inner soul brother is on fire." And Nami's just like, "Oh, take this seriously, will you?" And I like Robin's reaction is like, "Oh, that's so cute." But yeah, so the fight itself is really weird because it's comedic and pretty hilarious.
Yep.
But, at the same time, you're just like, why is Luffy having such a hard time with this guy? It's like, this guy's a joke character. Why? Foxy feels like the kind of filler character that, the main character has trouble fighting. But at the same time, you're thinking, he shouldn't have trouble fighting. This guy's clearly out of his league. What is going on? But it's in the actual manga.
Well, his power for one thing, to slow things down for 30 seconds.
Well, yeah, which is a pretty decent power, but at the same time, it is. He's just like, you're just like, dude, you could probably just take him out easily. You should be able to.
Reminds me of Razor's power. That didn't even make sense at all.
Yeah, and I love how it's like, Luffy won't win. This is Luffy with an afro. It's like, Luffy is more than that stupid fox can handle. It was like, why would you think, and Nami's like, why would you think an afro could increase his power? And of course, Robin has the weird sense of aesthetics where it's like, he did look cool, though. It was like, what the? And yeah, it's like all the other pirates, like, because his opponent's a rubber man with an afro. Nami's like, what does that have to do with anything?
I like how Nami's the only one. She's like, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on here anymore.
Yeah. And that's what's really kind of entertaining, because you've got Robin just kind of like in these little bits, just like, just like taking, well, not really taking it seriously, but she clearly just does not give a crap, and it's kind of hilarious because at the time it was a new characterization for her. And yeah. And so yeah, we kind of end the arc with Luffy pretty beaten up, but he's like, "I'm not going to lose, even if it kill. I'm not going to lose a single member of my crew, even if it kills me." And at the same time, I'm like, "You're taking this so seriously," but he's fighting freaking Foxy. That is not a serious threat.
Actually, the funny about that final panel where he says, "I'll fight to the death." When I saw that panel, hey, that reminds me of the game I saw. Oh yeah, that's the panel they used to play as Apple Loopy character. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. Part of it. All right. Well, that was So that was volume 33. Yeah, the Davy back fight is definitely one of those weird arcs, but at the same time, I don't know. This is one of those ones that I might have been a little... I think I probably would have enjoyed it week by week a bit more than I did Skypiea, because even though it was completely ludicrous how we're spending like more than an entire volume on this, at the same time, it's just funny enough that I absolutely love it and would have loved to continue, you know, to read it week by week. And when I was reading it the first time, I absolutely loved it. And this time, even though I can admit that it's so bizarre that we're taking this so seriously, I still love it because it's just hilarious.
Well, the thing about the Davy back fight arc is that it was kind of like a precursor to what's going to happen next, and like more like just like a setup.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's filler. It generally is filler in the manga, more filler than Skype ever will be.
Yeah, it is kind of odd though that this is kind of why One Piece is really good, or at least earlier on, and why I think Fishman Island and some of the stuff in between didn't work so well, because One Piece isn't afraid to take its time. Because I mean, all this stuff, you could have just easily skipped all of this and just gone directly from could have gone directly from Tanjit to what's coming next without having the Davy back fight in the middle. But, you know, Oda said, you know what? I have an entertaining idea and I'm going to go for it. And so he went for it and it was entertaining. I think that's why I'm not a huge fan of when the time skip happens, is because, you know, we start off with, them at Shabadi again. But it doesn't really do anything that fun with it. You know, it's just like this could have taken a little more time, developed a little more, had some more funny moments and whatnot, but oh well, we'll get to that.
At the time, he was working his butt off before he fell ill, like during the the early parts of the Dressrosa arc.
Yeah. Which definitely.
And then the executive, oh crap, we can't let this guy die. He's like our battleship here.
Well, that doesn't really have anything to do with the fact that that part wasn't as entertaining as One Piece has been in the past. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, yeah, this is definitely a lot of fun to read through this all again, especially since this is the first time that I've been able to, get this far in buying all the manga. And so, well, I think that about wraps things up. For next week, I think all we really have is... One Piece volumes 34, 35, and 36.
Oh,
yep, we might. I'm not certain. Let me double check the releases, actually. Because I think there might be something new coming out soon, but I'm not certain, so I just need to pull up my release schedule. Let's see. Yeah, no, there's nothing until the next Fairy Tail in June. So we don't have anything new. But, I don't know, depending on how we feel about it, we might end up picking up Monster Soul at some point.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to see if Barnes & Noble has it when I go there sometime. I might go there
tonight. There's only, like, 6 volumes of that one, right, I think.
Yeah, there is, so, yeah. Or, you know, I think what we might do is, do 3 volumes of One Piece and then that 1 volume of Monster Soul. Because I've kind of gotten into the habit of having something extra to talk about besides just One Piece.
Yeah, it kind of helps.
It does, yeah. I mean, it means a lot more reading, but at the same time, it helps out. But
keeps our brain kind of going.
Yeah, sort of like, yeah, we talk about more this week. We talk about more One Piece. It was awesome! But,
we're tired here about One Piece. Say about something else. Okay, Monster Soul. Monster Soul and...
Anyway, I think we're going to take a quick break here and then move on to the next segment where we're going to talk about this week's chapters. It's time for the manga commentary for the week, starting with the weekly Shonen Jump chapters, and All You Need Is Kill, chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So...
this is one of those chapters that was just fighting.
Yeah, pretty much.
Literally just fighting. It's like, oh, we're gonna go fight back, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It, it, pretty much shows how Keiji and Rita are, you know, they're basically perfectly synchronized now that they've both,
you know, synchronized killing machines.
Pretty much, yeah. Now that Keiji has had time to, you know, become used to fighting, mm-hmm. And so yeah, and they basically lead the other troops ahead through fighting the
follow me, my Valkyries. Wait, what?
Pretty much, yeah. Let's see.
And the last panel of the last page, I was like, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they basically fight their way through a bunch of the mimics, and they cut the antenna off of the, you know, off of the server.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, yeah, there's just last panel where it's one of those, oh, you know, just something has happened. And
someone died. Yeah. Someone died. They finally finished it and someone died after like 15 chapters.
Well, I mean, it's obviously that's going to happen. There's no way that's not going to happen.
I know, but who, though? I wonder.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. It would be a bit ironic if it turns out that it was Rita that died.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so overall, I mean, it was a good chapter. Not much to go off of just because it was all fighting, but still, it was a good chapter. And it leaves off on a cliffhanger that, of course, normally I hate cliffhangers, but this one was of the okay variety.
Yeah, even though I'm probably like, oh my god, we died. We died!
I have to say I'm not exactly that invested. At least not invested enough to really actually care.
Yeah, because the next chapter of another series is more invested.
Yes, chapter 747 of One Piece.
Supreme Officer Pika.
Yep, one sec. Jeez, I had to sneeze. Okay then.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a fun little cover page with, you know, these cute little cubs like Mihawk, while Perona is jealous, and. It's kind
See, when
of, it's
I looked,
fun.
When I saw that, I was thinking, Lolita.
You don't say.
I know. No, you mean I meant the book.
That doesn't make any sense. She's not underage.
I know.
Unless you're referring to one of those bears, you sick little monkey.
What?
They look underage.
What bears?
The little bear cubs there.
What? Oh, those bears. I beat the crap out of those bears in another game. I hate those damn bears.
Well, it looks like that's... You're heartless. But yeah, it looks like that's what happened. They've got scars on their faces. But anyway, let's talk about the actual chapter. So, as usual, there is a lot of material. And, yeah, important things is that Koala discovers that, you know, all these weapons were actually being sent to specific countries rather than, you know... the pirates that they look like.
Oh boy.
And yeah, and it turns out also that Fujitora.
Fujitora, yeah. I call him Purple Bull for some reason. Tell me, I was like, wait. Fujitora. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's Purple Tiger. Tora is Tiger.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, the other one that we haven't met yet. Yeah, exactly. Is Green Bull. But yeah, we do have Fujitora, who basically says, yeah, we're not going to go after Doflamingo because apparently he's made a deal and he's pissed about it, but, you know, he's not going after it. But, yeah. So,
wait, I thought he wasn't going after Doflamingo.
Well, it looks like he's saying no. No, it's, let's see. Well, I don't know. It's, you know, it's kind of unclear.
Mm. Because he hates the Seven Warlords, far as
yeah, I well, that's the thing, is that he, you know, it's the thing, he says things, and then he says, my decision will stand, and that's final. And I'm just like, wait, what decision? You didn't tell me.
Yeah, that was the weird part, where it was like, wait, what are you saying, like, my decision stand? Like, what did you just say, then?
Yeah, but on the other hand, Doflamingo, in the next scene, does mention that he, you know, that he's, come to an agreement with Fujitora, and that once he's done using them, they'll need him to disappear. So it looks like something that Fujitora won't be going against Doflamingo or something along those lines. And yeah, so I have to say, I really like the scene with Doflamingo's family, mostly because we get to hear Pika's voice for the first time.
I guess animated.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, this will be perfect in the anime. I need to make sure that I catch up on the anime by then.
Did the anime get to that point yet, though? I don't think it did yet. Hopefully it didn't. Otherwise, I'll go, hey! You Mo, ruined the moment, guys.
No.
Huh?
This chapter just came out. How the hell would the anime be at this point yet?
Well, it's in Dressrosa right now.
It is, yes. But not to this point. There's still, like, a good year's worth of chapters between where the anime is and where we are right now.
I know, but when Pika appears... Oh, he didn't...
Nope, he didn't say anything then. That's why this was funny.
Oh, okay.
It was because we didn't know. Jeez.
Okay.
Yeah, it turns out that he has a very high-pitched voice, and...
I'm a real boy!
I'm a real boy!
that's definitely worth laughing.
Yeah, I was like, if we are allowed to crush both pirates and navy, then I can handle this on my own! Oh, I can't do
that. Don't be! I will kill them all for you!
Yeah, and one of the... one of the newer... soldiers there can't stop himself, and he just cracks up, and I really love the reaction, because not only is Pika pissed, but you've got Treble and Diamante and Doflamingo, who all look kind of furious there.
So
it's like, and then afterwards, Baby Five shoots the guy, she's like, you know what, at least this family can have the body, at least this way. And then he falls off, and I'm like, yeah, not much left of the body. But then Doflamingo tells everyone about how his mother died when he was 8, he killed his father when he was 10, and then the officers in his that are working for him are basically his only actual family, and so he will not forgive anyone that laughs at them. And I really like that, because it's so often with villains. To show how villainous they are, they don't care about their, their underlings.
That's probably why we hate a Hody.
Yeah, him. There was also the one that I thought of first was Captain Kuril.
Yes, Kuril.
And so it's always nice when you see, when you see someone who cares about their, their underlings. A good example of that as well from One Piece would be Arlong, and that's why he was a much more interesting villain, because, as much as he was all, grr, I'm gonna kill these humans because I'm a racist, he was also, at the same time, he was, he actually legitimately cared about his people, and the reason that he got so angry against Luffy was because Luffy hurt all of Arlong's crew members.
Was that Zoro?
Well, Zoro and Luffy.
Yeah.
So they all did a number on him. And so we haven't had that many, so it is nice to see. This does explain why the Doflamingo family members are actually, loyal to him.
So maybe that's why he's like, oh, okay, Bellamy, I'll give you another chance.
Yeah, so like it's...
Don't fail this time.
It's an interesting mix where, Arlong cared about all of his crew members, even the random mucks that were cut down by Zoro. Doflamingo, on the other hand, has a very specific group that he cares about and is loyal to, but the rest of his underlings, the ones that are just a bunch of random... just a bunch of random foot soldiers, them he doesn't give two craps about.
Foot soldiers, they will explode when you beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, it's like...
turtles!
What's kind of funny about them is if you look at the scene where he's telling everyone that he lost, about how he lost his mother and he killed his father, you can just see how much taller the family members are than all the random foot soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just like, I swear, it's like... I was kind of thinking, oh man, what would someone have to do to get in on this family? And then I just kind of imagined this must be this tall for Doflamingo not to murder you.
Wait, Baby Five's that tall too?
She looked, well, from that perspective, she's nowhere near as tall as the others, but she seems to be taller than, she seems to be taller than Lao Ji, and Oda seems to have a thing for tall women.
Oh yeah, Lao Ji's little thing when you say G for this great. And I'm like, the G is like bolded, and then I just look at this race. I'm like, what the heck is all this saying?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, the thing also that I like that about it kind of reminded me of that bit from Calvin and Hobbes with his club, Gross, Get Rid of Slimy Girls. And when that was first introduced, everyone was like, the S, like, that doesn't make any sense. The S, you can't have the S at the end of the word gross as part of the acronym. Or no, at the end of girls as part of the acronym. So that was amusing. But all right, moving on with the chapter, Luffy, we have another great, amazing moment where Luffy, Zoro, and Law end up right smack dab in the middle of, let's see, the other members.
Senor Pink, the other guy, and...
Yeah, Mach Weiss. Is it Mach Weiss?
Mach Weiss?
The big one.
Yeah, the big wave.
The guy with the heavy fruit or whatever, the guy that's basically ripping off Miss... the other guy.
Oh, the other guy, probably.
Yeah, and then we have Dellinger, of course.
Dellinger, yeah.
Yeah, and so he lands in the middle of them, and I just love this reaction. Luffy's like, whoa, we fell into big trouble. Just Law, who's still being carried by them. If these cuffs ever come off, I'm killing you first, Straw Hat. It's just the perfect reaction, because you never really get anyone reacting the way they should to Luffy a lot of times. Mostly they're just like, oh, we trust you and follow you long and long and long and laws and laws. And, gosh, just like, I'm going to kill you. And... yeah, so they fight, the Marines show up, they fight some more, and then let's see.
Oh, yeah, Fujitora's there, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he does show up. And then we get the the end of the chapter, and the best part, where you got a freaking giant Pika who's absorbed all the stone and has grown to massive size, and I've seen a lot of people comparing this to Attack on Titan. You know, what this reminds me of more, honestly, is Shadows of the Colossus.
Yep!
Ow. Thank you for blowing out my eardrums.
No, those people deserve it. Saying, oh, Attack on
my Titan. Eardrums, you jackass.
Shadow of the Colossus.
I mean, seriously, I mean, yeah, I mean, this, don't I mean, worry. Pika doesn't look anything like a Titan from Attack on Titan, but he looks very much... like one of those big creatures from a Shadow of the Colossus with the.
Reminds me of the 15th one. I hate that. No, that guy was fun to fight.
Yeah, and it's just a really nice image of him just rising up out of the ground, with taking the stone with him. Yeah, and of course I can't wait for this to be shown in the anime, because you can just see it. He's like this. Dramatic, huge music as he rises up, and then, and now, anyone who defies the family must deal with me! And of course, Luffy has absolutely no tact, and just flips out. He's like, his voice! He sounds so silly! And thus, Luffy has earned himself a lifetime enemy, it seems like. Because furious, and his expression is just like straw hat. Yeah, this was a pretty amazing chapter. I was not expecting that gag for Pika, and to see it actually executed so well, where in a format where you can't actually hear his voice, it would probably be a lot funnier if it were an anime first, and we had that scene like we did in Up, where we hear the voice of the Doberman. And so I can just imagine this being played out exactly like this in an anime, but to be able to pull that joke off without actually having any sound is pretty impressive. So yeah, it's a great chapter. Absolutely loved it.
All I can really do is just imagine Pinocchio's voice coming out of his mouth. That's the best I can do.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind.
I'm a real boy!
Indeed. Or another joke, everyone imagines Pikachu's voice coming out of him.
Oh my god, I think that's probably what Oldo was trying to do.
If they don't get that voice actress for Pika, I will be furious.
Topper voice actress is the voice of Pikachu, by the way.
It's Providence.
Yes! It's like, and you will voice Pika.
It was like, wait, what? It's like, you want me to voice two main major characters in this arc? Yes. There's no other choice. Although, granted, let's be honest here. Japan is not exactly facing a shortage of squeaky-voiced women.
They are not.
I'm just saying, the market for that is kind of saturated. They could probably just go out into the middle of Tokyo and just find some random woman, and she would be able to do the voice well. So, I'm just saying. All right, well, from something that was amazing to something that is other horse shit, it's Naruto, chapter 676.
The Infinite
Dream. Yes. Yeah, so turns out that Obito is now being controlled by the Black Zetsu, and Madara has both his, Rinnegan. Jeez.
Rene.
Yeah, these stupid names, but...
Call Rene, whatever it is.
Yeah, Rene, like that manga. But, yeah, and you have a moment, you have a pretty cool moment with Sakura where... You know, she starts getting scared and backs down. But then she activates, like, the seal that Tsunade had that gives her, like, extra war paint and allows her to, that allows her to regenerate at a, you know, an insane rate. You know, it's the same thing that Tsunade was using earlier. And, yeah, Sakura gets stabbed, but since she can regenerate, although I'm not sure how she's regenerating while the weapon is still in her, you know, it doesn't...
I don't know, but...
It doesn't seem like that would... I don't know, I guess it helps keep you alive even when you've got a giant pole stuck inside you.
I guess.
So, I don't know.
At least she didn't run, because the interesting part was like, Madara was like, oh, she's going to run. Well, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, she didn't run. Like,
That was pretty well pulled off, because, I mean, I kind of get the feeling that Kishimoto was probably thinking, people probably think I would pull this kind of BS and have her be afraid. But no, then she wasn't. But of course, she's kind of not... She can't really do anything because she punches and there's an invisible something in the way.
Punch, invisible wall.
And then Sasuke comes in and attacks Madara. And then before Madara can counterattack, Sasuke dodges and Naruto has the presence of mind to pull Sakura away. And then there is quite possibly the best and worst part of this chapter.
The thoughts?
Yeah, where after Naruto saves Sakura, he's like, don't worry about me, Naruto. And she looks over at Sasuke and she's like, Sasuke, ... didn't even ... And I'm just sitting here, I was like, didn't even care? Huh. Imagine that, coming from the guy that was willing to kill you, like, just a couple hundred chapters ago. Who would have thought that your safety would not be his main priority?
Pure my ass.
Why, what's wrong with your ass?
No, I'm saying, you know, Hatsumo was saying, Sasuke is not good or bad, he's pure. You mean he's neutral?
Well, I think it's more what... it's meant to be is along these lines is, you know, he's only focused on defeating Madara. He doesn't care about anything else. And
that's, goals.
You know, I mean, he's focused on his goals and he doesn't care about anything else. In this case, trying to take down Madara. So he's not concerned about Sakura having a rod shoved through his stomach.
If Kishimoto just said he was neutral, it'd be fine. But you have to say pure and pure well, is like...
I think that works. I do still think that works, you know?
Okay. I can't think you're defending it. That's what I'm surprised about here.
Well, I know, but I mean, it makes sense. What he means is that, I mean, it specifically says that in the interview that Sasuke is focused entirely on his goals, you know? And in this case, he's so focused on his goals that he doesn't care that Sakura probably would have died just there had Naruto not come in and saved her. The only thing that really annoys me is the fact that this has been quite obvious for years... and yet only now Sakura is starting to clue in. Even after he tried to murder her, they did mm-hmm. She did the whole, oh, I still care about you, I can't stop caring about you. But it took Naruto saving her life and Sasuke ignoring the fact that she was impaled by something for her to finally start thinking, oh, wait a minute. Maybe this guy that tried to murder me and doesn't care about my well-being is not the best person to be crushing on.
I hope she realizes that.
I really hope so, because if Kishimoto goes back on this and he says, oh, you know, and then later on Sasuke, after the fight, Sasuke is like, oh, hey, by the way, want to help me repopulate my clan? And Sakura's like, oh, yay, yes, I will. And everything after having this moment to specifically point out that Sasuke doesn't give two craps about her, then I would be quite annoyed. Just as much as I would be annoyed if Naruto ended up with Hinata, because the manga has been very clear that he does not give two craps about her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of gets getting to the point with her where I'm just like, look, I know you're just a fictional character and all, but girl, you deserve someone that actually pays attention to you, not someone who you've constantly said, I'm in love with you, and he freaking ignores you. Kishimoto is the worst writer ever, or Naruto is just really bad at dealing with uncomfortable emotions that he doesn't know how to handle.
I'm probably siding with the former.
Yeah, probably, but still. I really hope that this little scene here that we're talking about does end with Sakura realizing, oh, wait a minute, Sasuke's a jackass. Because if it ends with anything else, I will be quite pissed because it just won't feel cathartic at the end.
You say my eardrums hurt, and you say your eardrums will hurt.
Well, yeah, I'm not yelling at you yet, or yelling at all, but...
Let's wrap up the rest of the chapter.
Yeah, definitely. And then Madara says, hey, I'm gonna make planets out of all these rocks, and he does, and he's like, well, these aren't exactly raindrops, but have fun.
And at least so you take the sun and move all the way through every freaking planet, melting them and then trying to burn the entire earth.
Yeah,
I don't understand how that moving does 7,000 damage in Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, and I do kind of like that little scene where Naruto is fighting the clones of Madara. And he's just like punching at nothing and Kakashi's just like,
Oh yeah, he has regular eyes. I'm like, I can't see things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What must he feel like, huh?
Yeah, you'd just be like, crap, that sucks.
I forgot how it feels like to be normal. This thing with normal eyes.
Yeah, I wonder if this means now that he has his regular eye back, if he'll probably stop hiding his eye because there's no need for it. But I wonder whether this means he'll take the rest of his mask off.
Just watch, he'll be at the end and like, oh no, you don't get to see his mask off still.
Yeah,
probably like a normal guy or something.
Probably, it's not that hard to imagine what he would look like. I mean, we have seen what his dad looks like, so just. Imagine a little younger, which basically means he looks exactly like everyone else.
Yep.
So, oh well. But yeah, and then...
This was actually an okay chapter.
It was okay. I mean, I did...
Oh yeah, we're not finished yet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, let's finish up. Yeah, and then Madara activates the infinite Tsukuyomi.
About time.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, it definitely was a decent chapter, mostly because I'm hoping that... Kishimoto, you know, makes good on what he, you know, on what he's been doing here with the relationships in this series. Because, I mean, it is very, whenever lousy, terribly written relationships become front and center in a series, it kind of pisses me off because I just look at it and like, you don't know what you're doing, writer. Mm-hmm. What the heck is going on here? Mm-hmm. So, I'm hoping that pays off in a way that's satisfying and not complete horse shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but still, I have a hard time trusting Kishimoto to do anything right, honestly. And one not awful chapter does not make up for the complete BS that we've had to deal with pretty much for like
the last several
months.
There's been way more awful chapters than there have been like actually really good, really great chapters. Even chapters are probably better than One Piece at some point.
There have been none of those. There have been tolerable chapters, tolerable. And there have been awful chapters.
Okay, me, I'm just trying to be too nice here.
You're being too nice, yes. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll move on to the next one, shall we?
Okay.
And we are back with World Trigger, Chapter 60, Invasion, Part 10. And... okay, yeah, sorry, I just kind of... at the time that we're recording, I've kind of forgotten what the heck happened to this chapter. And let's just say that what happened this chapter was kind of badass. So, you know, it does a lot of focus on more, you know, the strategizing and all that, but really the crux of the chapter is, you know, just actually seeing how all of their teamwork pays off, and that's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it quite, and it ended with a really on a really good two-page spread. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it was a really good chapter.
Oh, we're talking about World Trigger, right?
Yeah, World Trigger.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it was an okay chapter. I mean, with the whole part, you know, how usually the fight goes so well and you don't realize it and you're like, wait, and then one here said, when things are going your way, you don't notice that you're being manipulated. I'm like, dude, that's exactly how I feel about everything.
Yeah, it kind of really is, yeah. So,
League of Legends. We're winning. No, we're losing.
Oh, too bad. All right, well, let's see. Okay, what else do we have here? Let's go. Well, yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about this chapter. It was okay. It was good. I liked it. But, all right, let's go ahead and move on to Bleach Chapter 580. Which was, yeah, I don't know, you know, it was okay.
We get the names of the rest of those females.
Yeah, I don't know, I am kind of amused. The name Candace Catnip just seems like something, it seems like a parody of Hunger Games or something. Which is...
I swear we got her name earlier, though.
We did. We got their names earlier. But, yeah, they just kind of, you know, all show off their abilities, and some of them are kind of freaky, like the one that uses her abilities to eat people.
Yep, and the one with the big chest. I'm like, yeah, I think I've seen this somewhere before.
Yeah, and they've got... Yeah, and you have the one that's the creepy one that's really creepy because her ability is, you know, if you, you know...
It's splash of her blood.
Yeah, she can control you. So, yeah, that's kind of creepy to the max right there.
Like, blood, get off me. Nope, now I control you. Oh, no, now you can start ripping your eyeballs. I'm like, don't do that.
and then we have... Kenpachi, who is basically beaten by these girls, which I call bullshit.
Yes.
But, yeah. Then there's, like, some kind of weird skull-shaped explosion above them, and I don't know what exactly is going on, but cliffhanger, so we'll see what happens next week.
Yep.
And, all right, well, it was an okay chapter. I mean, it was mostly just showing off what they can do and sort of, you know... so that we can say, oh, why are these girls a threat? This is why. But...
I can shoot lightning. Well, I can eat people's heads. Okay, you win.
Yeah, I don't know. But knowing that they'll be defeated, it feels like a bit of a waste of time. But then again, everything between, you know, the beginning of this arc and the end of Bleach feels like a bit of a waste of time. So...
Well, yeah. So is Naruto, but we're not talking about that. Yeah, moving on to Toriko.
Toriko chapter 277, which turns out the frog is from the same place as, you know, Brunch, which is Hex World.
He speaks froggies.
Yep. And they go, yeah, and they have, he's their guide, and he takes them along a path that, you know, that shows the, you know,
the safe route, right?
Yeah.
The safe route, and then on the page, there's like all these things. It's like, wow, that's the one heck of a danger zone there. Safe zone.
Yep. Indeed, yeah, and you just kind of get this idea that, yeah, things are way more massive here than we have any idea
And
of.
then there's that hoof print that one of the eight kings left behind like a millennia ago. I'm like, wait, like a millennia ago, and they're gonna kill these things, possibly, maybe, maybe.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Well, there's eight of them, so you know they might make. There's four of them. There might be four others who'll probably, you know, maybe somebody like that. I don't know. It might be cool if four of them took down two of their own and all that on their own.
I could see that. But, well, let's
Oh
see.
yes, and the little cameo. The
Oh yeah, which cameo was that again?
president.
All right, yeah. Oh, sorry, it's just kind of hard to remember stuff. But yeah, and they come to the Golden Marsh, which is basically, it's a marsh, but it's gold colored. And then we end the chapter with the steel clouds, which I'm guessing mean that those clouds will basically shoot bullets or something. You know?
Steel clouds are dangerous, folks. And somehow they're
Apparently.
edible in this world. Everything in this world is edible. They can eat metal. Wait, wait.
They never said that.
I know, but there's a series that someone can eat metal.
Yeah, well, that's not what we're talking about right now.
I know.
All right.
But Toriko is a world where, you know, they anything can be edible. Anything.
Well, yeah, but nonetheless, I'm pretty sure that's not what they're going for here.
Okay.
But, all right, let's go ahead and move on to Seraph of the End, Chapter 19. And yeah, if anyone's noticing that we're going through these a lot faster, it's like, one, because timing conflicts meant we can't remember everything that happened, and two,
He can't. I have notes.
well, two, I've been editing all the old podcasts, and when I realize that some of them are over 4 hours long, I realized as much as I like long podcasts, and I'm sure there are other people that like long podcasts, I'm pretty sure there are people that are just thinking, I'm not going to listen to this entire damn podcast for 4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours out of 24 hours in a day. That's like 20 hours, and they have to spend 8 hours sleeping at average.
Well, with the way that.
6 hours to eat, I guess, you know, 3 meals a day or something. I don't know.
That's. Again, that's redundant. But.
It's not redundant, but I'm just saying. I meant 1 hour to eat a meal, or half an hour to eat a meal.
Yeah, not even that. But no, yeah, if the people listen to podcasts the way I do, that this some of our episodes would last them all week. All right, well, anyway, Seraph of the End, it's basically the training, you know. It does have a bit of an amusing moment with Yujiro's face after what's his face is all says that, oh, I can totally manifest, manifest mine, but then he can't. And Yujiro
Oh.
has that expression. I'm like, okay, that's okay. Well done. That's a good face. But yeah, so other than that, it's mostly them saying, blah, blah, blah. These are the types of weapons, blah, blah. And what the heck is that?
That's the garbage truck. Anyways, manifestation. Okay, there's the manifestation and possession goes like this. Manifestation is like a gamble. It's like it's very easy to use, but at the same time, if you know, it doesn't work out, you could probably end up losing all your energy, whatever. Possession, easy to use but impossible to control. So I'm looking like,
Almost,
wow,
yeah.
they got some really
Yeah, that.
nice powers, but at the same time, kind of forfeit in a way too. It's like I can't activate my manifestation. It's never like, okay, I'll kill you now.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it is.
Something
Yeah, they do basically say that, manifestation is, it leaves you yourself very weak.
Yeah, like a day with Guru in that time.
Yeah, and so. And it so it's basically,
What's that session?
it's basically meant to be that it's more of a long range thing, the possession is more for short range and everything, but
Okay.
yeah. And
Sorry, I
so
forgot about that
it's
part.
yeah, there's a little bit too much focus on, the whole I don't know, it's just an entire month's worth of them doing training. And so it's I mean it's okay, but it's kind of a little bit boring.
One Piece never trains. They train while they actually fight.
Yeah. And so, anyway, it's an okay chapter, but it's not exactly my top of the top chapters. So,
Oh, right. And then the last chapter, the last bit ends with from like a Mika kind of being triggered by that wound he had.
Oh, yeah, and he's starting to be all, I want human blood, bleh.
And then that friendship thing, he's like, oh, we're really friends, you'll tell us everything. I'm like, oh, boy, it's going to be some.
Yeah, it's like, there's going to be some stuff you find out. We're like, okay, I changed my mind, we're not friends anymore. Yeah. All right. Oh. Well, let's go ahead and talk about Nisekoi chapter 122. And
it was actually amusing.
Yeah, it was a fun chapter because I don't know, it felt like it was written for brand new readers almost in a way, because the main character of this chapter is one of the teachers, Minjiro Fukuda.
I don't know who that guy is.
He's never shown up before, but he's exactly. There for the for the student counseling and all that. And he's kind of more there to be the outsider to point out how crazy all these people are. So, yeah, kind of like with Marco, is like, okay, maybe you should have a career choice. And her dad is like, what are you saying? He's like, ah. But
especially my daughter's career choice? Well,
it's not really a career. Yeah. And like towards the end where he's like basically hating Raku because it's like, you lucky son of a bitch. But yeah, so it's overall, it's kind of one of those chapters that, you know, if someone wanted to start reading the series but they didn't want to start from the beginning for some weird reason, this is what I would show them, because it basically, you know, maybe it would, you know, just as long as you tell them, yeah, the teacher guy, he's not important. But, you know, this just sort of gives you an idea of, hey, these are all the characters and these are their relationships.
Actually, this is the only chapter where all the characters and their parents, actually their guardians or parents, actually show up and meet each other, saying, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you get the reactions from everyone, and it's kind of weird towards the end when you have Marika just throwing herself at Raku and you get the different reactions, like, Chitoge's dad is all looking just kind of bemused. Raku's dad is kind of bemused and embarrassed looking. And then you've got Onodera's mom, who's like, what the? It was like, she's like, err. And then you've got Marika's dad, where I don't know why I'm seeing him, why he's reacting like this, but I swear his reaction is just like, not this shit again.
I think he's saying this to Raku's dad, too. So, like,
yeah, which is kind of weird. It's like, dude, you should probably be arresting him. You know, just saying, criminal. Oh, you're not going to? Okay, fine.
He's not doing anything bad right now. I don't feel like I'm too lazy about it.
Yeah. Well, it was a good chapter. Just not.
Oh, yeah. What about Claude? Claude?
Oh, yeah, Claude. He was, well, Claude's Claude. He's a Claude. So, you know, nothing all that important. But
nothing all that important. Nothing important to see here, folks. Moving on.
He's just going Super Saiyan. All right. It's time for Stealth Symphony, Chapter 12, where we discover that the...
Let me digress for a moment.
Yes.
That's the chapter title.
Yeah, for a second I was like, what the hell? Why do you want to digress? But then I looked at the title. I was like, oh, right. Yeah, so we get to see Alice in a shot in her underwear, and you're just like, okay, this is...
Sarah's just trying to save herself.
Yeah, but, and then there's, and also we find out that the ninja person is not from the Stealth Symphony universe. The ninja is actually from, I guess, our universe, or a universe that's more normal. Mm-hmm. You know, that allows ninja techniques and whatnot, and it turns out that the ninja is actually a girl. Mm-hmm. And then we have some, like, you know, references to, oh, hey, look, these are all the characters interacting, and look how they know each other. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but I don't know any of these characters, like, actually know them. So it's a bit weird.
Well, like I said, the ratings have not been doing so well.
Yeah, which explains the way the police chief is drawn this chapter as well, and I'm just like, good grief, this reeks of desperation here. But yeah, so
the president of B&B.
It turns out some kind of dragon slayer or something is what they
call him. He was that legendary hero dragon slayer dude.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, that's interesting. I'd like to know more about that, but
He's a goblin. Interesting.
Yeah, so
goblin. That's pretty cool. Sadly, that series ain't gonna make it because, you know.
Yeah. What's really weird is that towards the end of focus of this chapter is how Alice is all, oh, I failed, I didn't do my thing. It's like, oh, I must, you know, I need to do my job. Nobody else helped me. It's like, oh, it's not bad to need help. It's like, okay, I have learned my lesson. Yeah. And I'm just like, this would have been a lot more impactful if I actually knew who the hell this character is. Like, I mean, we know who she is, but we don't know who she is. You know, we haven't had enough. You know, it's just, we need to know more about characters before we go doing the big, oh, hey, I have an emotional problem. Oh, hey, look, the emotional problem was resolved in the same chapter. That's trite. That's bad writing. It's not interesting. It's just,
yeah,
it's dumb. And, well, oh, well. And then we find out that, oh, hey, look, we're going to focus more on this character who had this big character arc, this single chapter. And apparently there's someone that hates her. So, I don't know. This series is...
Also, it's possible Jake might... I don't know why, but there was a page here where... I don't want the other one to do, but...
Yeah.
Maybe Jake might be faking everything. Who knows?
Yeah,
you know, the whole... Oh, I'm actually... I'm actually the victim, and, you know, I'm writing that as my sister who he might have killed, so I'm...
Not so loud.
Sorry.
You're maxing out your audio.
I'm sorry.
But, yeah, so... Yeah... I don't know, because, yeah, they do, the way that his eyes are drawn, you know, they're completely pupil-less. And so it's sort of like, you know, that's usually the way it's drawn whenever someone's like, has like a soulless expression. So, I don't know, yeah, it's like we get this whole idea that, hey, this guy is, you know, he, you know, there may be more to him than there is, you know. And they actually focus specifically on his eyes and characters reacting on his eyes. So you're just kind of thinking, oh, okay, interesting. We'll see where this goes. But still, this series feels like it's trying to do things that series are only allowed to do after having existed for more than just a couple weeks. You know? It's just kind of really hard to be invested and enjoy these chapters when they're really... It just never developed anything properly. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Well, you can know this. It's definitely going to go out soon in its own way. I don't know when, but...
Probably, yeah.
Chapter 12 right now for this one, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think this one's going to survive much longer.
Nope.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next chapters. Let's see. Assassination...
Classroom. Chapter 88.
Yes, the one with the remote control tank, right?
Yep, that one.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny chapter. What I really liked about that chapter is that we get to see what's his face?
Itona.
And you know, it's nice to be able to just, you know, that they actually take the time to add a little more to his character, and we find out that he's good with tinkering and with electronics and stuff.
He's going to be a good teamwork with that one guy.
Yeah. And then, of course, it turns out that everyone's all the more perverted members of the group are like, hey, let's use this to spy on the girls and pick up their skirts. And you're like, oh, you kids.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah. Boys will be awful boys, actually.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And the ending where the girls find out what the heck's going on is pretty hilarious, too. So,
there was that one page where the tank actually met a freaking otter. I was like, wait, where did the otter come from? And apparently that otter came from the chapter where they went to hunt for beetles or something that time. I think so. Was that one? Ah, man.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah, that one. I think so, yeah. Yeah, that is, I do recall that. Yeah, that's where he was shown to be a pervert, so.
Yeah, that one. I didn't want to mention that part, too, but yeah, the Beatles, not the pervert part I remember the most.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that part. Okay, well, yeah. Yeah, that's the part. But yeah, it was a good chapter. It was entertaining. It was funny. It had some... amusing moments, but yeah.
And then the last bit of it. The last bit where Shiro's like, oh, well, we're going to go after, I'm going to try to go after this person now. I'm like, oh, great. We're going to go after, is it Nagisa?
Yeah, oh yeah, that. Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where he is, yeah, that one.
And
yeah,
then, call that one. And then the last page, where that mouse, yeah.
Oh yeah, that was, like, oh, he's got a pet mouse, oh my gosh.
Like, that person's not human, obviously yeah. Not human.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what I like about this chapter was the part with the tanks, where go, achieve that tank, and it's like, high mobility respiration soldiers, like, that's a really thoughtful name for someone who's just going to go put the tank right up on the right side up again.
Yeah.
Those names.
Indeed. Yep. All right, let's go ahead and talk about Shokugeki no Soma. Okay, remind me, did we go over chapter 69?
Did we?
It was the chapter where you actually get to see him, Kurokiba, be the chef.
Wait.
I can't remember. It's the one where the opening page is him in, like, shackles. The reason I ask is because I look at, like...
feel like you've read this before?
Well, I've read it before, but I don't remember whether we discussed it. Because I'm looking at chapter 70, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, I did not read chapter 70.
Oh.
For some reason. So, let's talk about chapter 69. It's where we get to see Kurokiba actually be, you know, he's actually the... you know, he's a badass little chef, and little chef, and you know, all the adults are like, hey, how dare you have an attitude, and he's like, oh yeah, you better cook than me, you know, I'm in charge here, I could fire you, so shut
I'm
your
the
mouth.
Head chef.
It's like, shut Good your life. Mouth, old man. Yeah, and yeah, so it's basically, oh hey, look, as a kid, he was an amazing cook. And
he was left to take charge of the chef after the owner left him to take over. I'm like, I wonder who that owner is.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, oh, hey, interesting.
He even dresses the same way as Soma, so...
a little bit, yeah. But, yeah, so the rest of the chapter is basically him saying, oh, hey, I have, you know, the kitchen is a battlefield. Only the strong can... it's all about defeating your opponents and everything, and... you know, she's like, oh, no, don't you, you know, that is not true. All the people who pushed me forward, don't speak badly of them. And he just glares at her, and she's like, or something like that. Yeah, if this ever gets an anime, and the anime is brought over to the U.S. and dubbed. I know they have their own stable of, you know, everyone has their own stable of voice actors, but if Megumi is not voiced by Andrea Libman, then there is something very wrong with this world.
Andrea Libman. Who's she?
She doesn't do anime, but you should know who she is.
Wait. I swear I heard that name before.
Yes, yes, you have.
Oh!
Not so loud, please.
Okay.
No, sorry. You can do O, but do it more. Oh.
No, seriously, it makes more sense to go O like that because of who she voices in general.
Exactly, yeah, but just don't blow my eardrums out, please.
Oh, I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it'd be perfect because you can just imagine that as like, oh. Or something like that, you know. But anyway, it was a good chapter, and I really like it more than a lot of the other chapters that we've gotten recently, just because of the way right at the end where she's all, "Don't speak ill of the people that were important to me," and he's all like, "Huh?" And yeah, that was a nice little twist on the old, "Oh hey, I'm standing up for myself." No, I'm not. All right, well, that was good. All right, let's move on to Fairy Tail chapter...
384.
There we go. All right, so this chapter is basically Lucy trying to, you know,
summon three celestial spirits at once.
And it doesn't work so well because the demons are still all, aha, we beat you anyway, and then, yeah, Lucy gets beaten up pretty bad because that's her thing, and then, yeah, she almost got mutilated because that rabbit,
Lummy.
Yeah, that it is all, oh, hey, it's like, you should, you know, you should blow her boobs up. And then a jackal blows up Lummy's head because he's like, I'm not going to blow the boobs up. I've got a better use for them. I'm like, oh, no. No, 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 no. But then Aquarius shows up, fortunately. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. This would have spelled the moment where I stopped reading this series had this gone any further. And then Aquarius is like, you know what? None of us are strong enough. You need to summon the Celestial King. You can do it. And the only way to do it is if you can only do it once. But to do so, you have to destroy one of the golden keys. And Aquarius is like, hey, you destroy mine. And Lucy's like, what? No, you're my friend. I can't do that. And Aquarius is like, I hate you. Just do it. And so you have a big touching, oh, no, I can't do this. And you must do it. And, oh, I hate you. But turns out I don't really hate you as much as I thought. And although at the same time I'm thinking, so it's basically like, you know, she's not going to die, but Lucy can't summon her anymore. But at the same time I'm thinking, okay, I'm pretty sure there's more than just one, or, you know, I'm not sure, because I thought that it was, there was more than just one of each type of golden keys, or were there, or not? Does this mean nobody can ever summon Aquarius ever again?
Not sure, but maybe.
Either way, it's such a touching moment that you know that Mashima's gonna find some way to undo it. So
of course. Keep going.
Yeah. But yeah, and Aquarius disappears, and then the whole knowledge that it's not going to stick and that the touching moment will be ruined is made up for by the fact that the Celestial Spirit King shows up and just wrecks shit.
Like, oh, hey, what's up?
Like, he just smashes the entire floating island monster thing. And everyone's like, what the heck's going on? Oh, by the way, we also get to see Kyoka's full face. Her mask has been completely broken off. And, yeah. And then Mad Gear and the Celestial King face off. And they're like, dun-dun-dun-dun. And all that. And I'm just thinking, oh, hey, this is sweet. This is actually kind of really awesome. So, yeah, this was a really good chapter. I thought really good. I mean, the fact that I'm being cynical about it and knowing that Mashima, my cynicism will probably pay off, is making it a little more hard for me to enjoy the sacrifice. But at the same time, it's just well enough in the moment that I feel that as long as I just ignore that it will probably, like always, Mashima will find some way to reunite them. I can live with that, you know.
Yes, Celestia can be like, oh, you missed your friend here. Here's Golden Key.
Yeah,
and it's like, wait, her again.
Well, he is the king of all celestial spirits, so I wouldn't be surprised if
I can only make one at a time. So here, I'll make another one in case.
Yeah, I can just see him. He's like, screw the rules. I'm all powerful.
True.
Although I don't see how, you know, you have to sacrifice a key to, summon him. But then Lucy summoned him once before, but I guess it's less she summoned him and he just appeared, but outside of her control. So, I don't know. Anyway, it was a good chapter, and it promises to be really badass, since we weren't expecting to see the king show up like that. But, all right, it is time for Chapter 77 of The Seven Deadly Sins. And let's see, yeah. So, Bon is, of course, proves that he is a master thief by stealing someone's teeth from inside their helmet. And, yeah, so it's basically everyone's kind of, like, getting together. It's like, hey, we should all get together and Hendrickson. There we go. Yeah, that they need to stop Hendrickson, and Dreyfus decides, okay, you know what? I'll accept a truce and I'll go with you because I was kind of against this idea. And so, yeah, they all go. Yeah. Yeah, they all go and they're like, we're going to go save Elizabeth, even though most of us are pretty much beat to crap. And yeah, and then we have Gil Thunder and Hendrickson fighting against Meliodas and King Arthur. And it's kind of cool. They keep fighting and it's all, oh, I'm going to save Elizabeth. And then we have Bond discover the kingdom's treasure, the trumpet of Sir Nunos, and it's used to communicate with the with the goddesses. And then Bond says, take my life in exchange for Elaine's.
And I'm like, wait, didn't she already die?
Yeah, that's the point. You know, he's immortal, so he's going to sacrifice himself to bring her back.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's kind of like, I'm just thinking, that'd be interesting if this actually works. She comes back and he's gone forever, you know? Because on the one hand, I'd be like, no, bring him back. He's the best character. On the other hand, I'd be like, oh, hey, cool. She's back. But, yeah, it was a great chapter. I liked it a lot. I've been really, 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 really liking this series. Like, a lot more than, a lot more than a lot of the other series that I read. This is Seven Deadly Sins is really jumping up the rankings, in my opinion. And I know we didn't do it last year, but this year, at the end of the year, we definitely needed to do our top 5 manga of the year list. Or maybe we could make it our, I don't know, I guess you could do a top 5 ongoing manga list, or maybe just do a top 5 manga of the year, where it not necessarily be, oh, hey, look, these were the top 5 manga created this year. It's more, no, these were the top 5 manga I enjoyed the most this year, you know? And so, all right. Well, anyway, that's that. Shall we go ahead and wrap things up?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
excuse me.
This has been Manga Cubed, episode 97 for the week of...
19th.
There we go. Yeah, I was thinking, I can do this math. But yeah, May 19th, 2014, this week, we reviewed One Piece volumes 31 through 33. We also, did we go over, Seven Deadly Sins volume 2 and Fairy Tale 38, didn't we? Yes, we did. All right, next week, we will be reviewing One Piece volumes 34, 35, and 36. And I'm pretty sure there are no new releases. Let me actually check that. Just pulling up the list of releases. Let's see, it's the 26th of May right now. So the next one, okay. The next one isn't Fairy Tale on the 17th of June, which will be in like a couple weeks. So yeah, this week we'll take it easy and just review 3 volumes of One Piece. Does that sound good to you?
Repeat that again.
We're reviewing 3 volumes of One Piece, volumes 34, 35, and 36.
Yes, just that, right?
Yeah, just good. That. And then the week, and we were thinking of Monster Soul, but I decided, you know what? That's not really necessary right now, but the main reason was I went to Barnes & Noble and I looked at their copies, and they had copies that were not in great condition. So, yeah. The week after that, what we might be doing is, Hunter Hunter will be coming to the magazine shortly.
It's next week.
Yeah, and so...
the 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, so what we're not next week, but the week, after that, we think we'll be going over Hunter Hunter Volume 1, since that's, Yeah, we don't have anything. Yeah, we know we don't have anything else to review, and well, besides more One Piece, and I just managed to get my hands on the first volume. So, Let's see. Okay. All right. Anyway, that's that. Let's go ahead and do the author comments, starting with One Piece's Eiichiro Oda. For some reasons, I was invited my friend Sekai no Owari to see their concert. Wow, what an amazing perspective they have.
Hang on, let me get to that.
Okay. For some reason.
Sekai no Owari. Wasn't he talking about that like a while ago?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember exactly.
I think it was like the week before or 2 weeks beforehand. I'm like, wow, he's just getting to know them. So, cameo characters, maybe?
Anyway,
Six,
that's fun. Singing.
Wait, are they a band?
Oh. They're a band,
look at that.
Yeah.
All right, oh, they're a band.
Next one.
Okay, get into that. Okay, here we go. Next one. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I've had to change what I eat because my bad cholesterol is too high. Cup ramen.
Oh, yeah. That would
Stop eating that.
Yeah.
Right. I see the sad thing is people, I don't know if it's really true, but people then have to rely on eating like cup ramen or cup noodles or whatever because they can't, either they can't cook or they don't have the money to afford good food. And
I don't think that's the case with him. The not having any money to afford good food.
I know.
I'm pretty sure it's entirely not having time. Which,
sucks.
Honestly, if I were an extremely talented manga artist and I was making One Piece and Naruto levels of money, I'd honestly just hire a cook. Just like I'd hire myself a personal chef. I mean, sure, I'd like to cook myself, but, I would hire a personal chef, someone that can, make good, healthy food. And, I mean, it would be kind of be like, ordering out. But at the same time, it would be healthier because I have someone that can control it. So, that's probably what you need, dude.
Although we'll order his own Sanji.
If, and conversely, if I were hired as a personal chef for Oda, I would totally dress up as Sanji every day.
Ironically, that actually would make sense.
Indeed.
You just need to trim that beard of yours more.
I just need a complete
He has a goatee, too.
He does have a goatee now, so I could do that. But I'd have to trim it up a lot, yeah. Oh, anyway, next one. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I wasn't able to go see Frozen Golden Week Break with... what Golden Week Break? Sounds like someone was busy, huh?
Shame. Bleach says, Tite Kubo, I went to Kyoto for Golden Week as planned. It was amazing. I hope to go again soon.
Yes. All right. Next one. Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. We had a mini barbecue on the terrace of the studio. I'm fully recharged thanks to the aggressive all-meat menu. Okay, well, there you go. Somebody cooks for themselves.
If I had one superpower, it would be the ability to know whenever barbecue is being made, so I would manage to transport there and eat it.
Mm-hmm. You would get your ass kicked.
I would have that power. Wait, how do I get back home is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Get out of here. But I'm here for the barbecue.
It's like, Nani? What did you say, Gaijin? All right, next one. Nisako is Naoshikomi. The final episode for the anime is this week.
I think I chance to read. I almost read that.
Did you? Oh, carry on.
Naoshikomi, the final episode for the anime is this week. Nisako really is a blessed series. Please watch. Wait, it's the final episode?
It's already over? What?
I guess
who hasn't been paying attention?
I guess the animator is probably like, we probably shouldn't continue on because we might not make it as far.
Well, I think the thing is that the animated it's ending. Yeah, ended May 24th. Yeah, the thing to keep in mind is that it ended with a Romeo and Juliet play. So it's going to be ending with the moment where Chitoge realizes she's in love with Raku. So that's actually a perfect ending point. I mean, granted, it doesn't resolve anything because nothing resolves anything. But it is a good, it is a very good point to end the anime if that's all it's going to get. But the question is, will it get a second series? Possibly. Let's see. Is it a sequel? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of hard to say whether there'll be a sequel, but, if the anime had to end sooner rather than later, I would say this is where it ended right there is the perfect place for it to end. But, all right, last one. Stealth Symphony's Ryogo Narita. I'm working hard every day while listening to the Kill Me Baby Super CD.
It's It's from a manga, I believe. There's a manga called Kill Me Baby.
I guess. Okay. Fair enough. Fun times. All right. Let's do our rankings. This is going to be hard. actually, no, not that hard. Fourth place is... Nisekoi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I liked Nisekoi. It was a good chapter overall. It was funny. It wasn't the greatest chapter this week. That's why it's fourth place.
Oh.
What about yours?
Okay, don't hate me for this. Serve the end.
Fine.
It was okay. It had some, you know, it gave some things about, you know, more, I guess, info dumping and the whole training thing and kind of like point out, like, especially the last bit of the chapter saying, you know, showing how Mika's like, his bloodthirst is going. I'm like, oh boy, that cut is going to do something later on bad. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And funny moments, of course.
Yep.
Which had more funny moments.
Right. Well, number three, World Trigger, I say.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just, I like just mostly because I like that last page. It was awesome.
Okay. All right. Nisekoi.
Cool.
Yeah.
And all right, fair enough. You liked it a bit more than I did.
I liked it. I like that. You know, it was pointing out how the characters, how the characters gonna have like, oh, what's your future gonna be, and what you gonna plan to do? I'm like, huh?
Indeed. What indeed? Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Number two is Toriko.
Same.
Yeah. It was just had a lot of awesome, you know, stuff, learning more about the gourmet world. And the gourmet world is really interesting, so I'm quite interested to learn more about it.
Man, and that cameo.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
I was like, why? Why? Mm-hmm. You have to do that, too.
Yeah.
That was probably the first mainstream series I've seen actually done that, because other series I've read only had those cameos, but, you know, in terms of series that we are talking about, generally, this is the first one that actually had that. I can't remember any other series of them.
Yeah.
Except for that one series that I don't like.
Yeah, indeed. Well, all right. First place, One Piece.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious.
Pika.
It has everything. Pika. It has everything awesome in it, and that final page where it's just Luffy just cracking the heck up, and Pika's like, I'm gonna freaking kill you, you little jerk.
It's just like you said, Pika's voice should be voiced by the one who voices Chopper, because the voice of Chopper also voices Pikachu in Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like, Pikachu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He sneezed and said it'd be hilarious. But then, like, hey, copyright, we're gonna get you, older. Come and get me. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, so I think that wraps things up then. As usual, if you go to burninglizardstudios.com, you can leave a comment there. You can send us an email at burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or on Twitter at burninglizard. Questions, comments will be read on the air. And currently, if you're listening to this, I am currently editing all the episodes that we were behind on. So by the time you get here, you may have noticed that... As a lot of episodes came and went, especially for those listening on Podomatic. Anyone listening on Podomatic, if you go to iTunes and you search for Manga Cubed and you actually write it out, you don't spell it the cute way, the quotation marks cute, way I wrote it out the first time. The full name of the full stream is Manga Cubed, a manga podcast. So if you search for that, you'll be able to listen to any old episodes. And if you don't like iTunes, you can also go to burninglizardstudios.blogspot.com to find the archives with direct downloads to M4A and MP3 files. You can also just go to burninglizardstudios.com where you can find every episode. That's where the feed is hosted, so you can download them, the M4A files from there directly. So if you're listening to this and there's a lot of episodes that you've missed on Podomatic, like I said, you can go to those places and find them. If you just subscribe to the full feed on iTunes, you'll be able to get it there, get all of that there. So, all right, and yeah, let us know if, yeah, like we said, let us know if you have any questions or comments. The more questions and comments and, of course, rankings we get on iTunes, the more it's appreciated, because we are, you know, for some reason I haven't been able to figure out how to get the you know, the download tracking and all that sorted out on the main feed. So, you know, the more people, you know, it helps if people let us know that they're actually listening. So, anyway, that is that, and yeah, well, we'll see you all next week. So you have a good, yeah, you have a good rest of the week, and remember, the manga is always better.
Yep. Yeah.